Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Thanks for joining us for our Graymere Sunday evening sermon. We're beginning a new series, and we're going to do some things that I think will be pretty neat for us as a church family. It'll help us stay connected and hopefully help us stay focused on some of the passages we're going to look at. We're beginning a series called The Outdoor Classroom. And what we're going to do is think about some of the ways in which God gives us spiritual messages by giving us animals as examples in Scripture. We know that we can learn about God by looking at the creation around us. And there are a lot of places in the Old and New Testament where animals are held up to illustrate something important. And so if we go through some of those and look at some of these animals, maybe that will be a clue for us that the next time we see or think about that animal, we can remember that passage and remember what we were supposed to learn as we think about how God's revealing Himself to us. And one of the things we're going to do that we put on Facebook a few days ago is we're going to invite our children and really anybody who wants to participate, but we especially want to try to engage our children in doing some creations that will remind us of each week's animal. So tonight we're thinking of an eagle. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 40, and we're going to be reading what God has to say about eagles and what they teach us about the kind of strength that He gives us. But we want to encourage all of our children to try to draw an eagle. You can paint an eagle. You can take some Play-Doh and make a little an eagle sculpture. You can make a Lego creation of eagles. We may have some out there who have been at a place where you've taken a picture of an eagle. Whatever you want to share with us, maybe if it's just your favorite stuffed animal that's an eagle, whatever it is, if you would have someone take a picture of that, and you can post it on either our Facebook group or you can just email it to me if you'd rather me do that. And what I thought would be neat is at the beginning of every sermon on Sunday night, starting next week, we'll look at some of the pictures and some of the creations from the past week's animal. So next week, we'll start our sermon looking at some of the eagle creations and eagle pictures that you have put together. And so that'll be neat because your kids will be able to see their own creation on the screen. Whether you're watching this on the phone, an iPad, even have it on your TV, they'll be able to see their creation there. It'll just be a reminder that we've got families all over who, even though we haven't been together for Bible class, are taking the initiative and talking with their children about Scripture and giving them activities to do. And it'll also be a way for us to still feel that family connection. And so I hope you can participate in that. What we'll do is we'll have kind of the deadline to turn those in to be on Thursdays, because that's often when we pre-record these sermons. But even if you get it in a week late, we'll still get you in the next week. It just might not be with all the pictures of that same animal, but we'll get you in there. We want to show the creations that all of our Graymere members are doing. So if you haven't already turned to Isaiah 40, I hope that you will. Now, it's always difficult when we drop right in the middle of a book like Isaiah. But just to kind of recap, we remember that Isaiah is a prophet that we're probably most familiar with from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is that scene where he's ushered into the throne room of God. He has this vision of standing before the throne. And also there are the seraphim, these angelic beings that are described in vivid detail in Isaiah chapter 6. And you have that statement that's made, who will go for us? Who are we going to send? And Isaiah volunteers. You have a statement that's made by God on His throne. The seraphim are around. And some writers have described that as a divine council. And that should hopefully paint a picture for us of God and these angelic beings, His angelic servants around Him. Now, sometimes in movies like Clash of the Titans or anything that looks back at mythology, you'll see the pagan gods all kind of sitting in a circle. And here's Zeus, and here's Aphrodite, and here's Athena, and they're all kind of around talking to each other. And it's almost like they're making a decision, and each one of them has a vote. And that's not the kind of divine council we see in Scripture. In Scripture, the divine council is God on the throne, and everyone's clear who's in charge, but He's speaking to these angelic beings. I bring that up because when we get to Isaiah chapter 40, it seems like it begins with that same kind of conversation, that it's that same kind of divine counsel that's happening and that's discussing the message that the Israelites needed to hear. Now, at this point, it's more accurate to say what Judah needed to hear, because this would have come at a time, at least this prophecy assumes a time, after Babylonians have come in and have taken over Judah. They've taken them captive. Now, Isaiah prophesied that this day would come, and so this would have been a prophecy that for generations after, those who had been taken in captivity could look back on and remember, here's what God's message was for us when we've been taken captive. And there is an animal that's mentioned in Isaiah 40. It's not an animal that's very impressive, and as human beings are compared to this animal, it's not all that flattering. Verse 22 describes God as one who sits above the circle of the earth, and the earth's inhabitants, that would be us, are like grasshoppers. Now, I don't have anything against grasshoppers, but it's not a compliment to be called a grasshopper. I mean, on the one hand, it sounds like it could be a neat comparison. Can you imagine what it would be like for us to have the relative jumping ability that grasshoppers have, for us to be able to jump 30 or 40 feet forward in one leap? That would be pretty neat. But at the same time, grasshoppers are often a synonym, symbolic, for those who are weak. So, for example, when the children of Israel were scouting out the promised land, the land that God had already told them they would possess, these spies come back in Numbers 13, and they tell Moses that they're scared of the inhabitants of the land. They looked so big and imposing. They say, "We became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." They started thinking about themselves as nothing more than little grasshoppers, and they were just little grasshoppers in the sight of the people of Canaan. So it's not really a compliment, but we can understand why it's important that God reminds his people that he's the one in charge and that everyone else, even the mighty rulers of Babylon, are like grasshoppers. In the ancient world, it was often assumed that if one nation came in and took over another nation and subdued them and took them into captivity, that that nation's God had won a victory over the other nation's God. And so what God is reminding them here is that even though the Babylonians had come in, and even though the temple had been destroyed, and even though articles out of the temple had been stolen by the Babylonians, that did not mean they were more powerful than God. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. And so over and over again in Isaiah 40, we get this reminder that God is the one who's in charge, that God is the one who created everything. It begins with the words, "Comfort, O comfort my people," says your God. And we find out that it can be comforting to realize that God is the one who's truly in control, that he's truly powerful. Now, there's another animal that's mentioned here. It's the one we're going to be thinking more about tonight. He describes what it's like to soar on wings like an eagle. Now, eagles are large birds of prey with heavy beaks and heavy heads, and they typically build their nests in high places, and we have this picture of them swooping down. Their beaks and their talons make short work of their prey. In fact, just a few days ago, Joe Delk told me about what it was like not too long ago to witness an eagle doing a little bit of hunting over a fishing pond, just sort of hovering in one place until that fish was just right where the eagle wanted it, and swooping down, going fast, hitting the water hard, but getting that fish and swimming back up and flying back up. You know, these are apex predators of the bird world. They are, if you're flying in the air, they are the ones who are superior to all the others in terms of the way in which they hunt their prey. And they're a symbol of strength. There's a reason that the bald eagle is associated as a symbol of our country, the reason it was chosen, that idea of strength. There's a reason that you have a lot of mascots and sports teams that are the eagles. Maybe you think about the Apollo 11 landing when the lunar module, the eagle lands, and Neil Armstrong says, "The eagle has landed." It was our scout to a new world. I mean, there are just all kinds of ways in which in our lives the majesty and the strength of an eagle are magnified. So I'd like for us to keep that in mind as we read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to start in verse 21. And so if you've got a Bible, read along with me, or if you want to look it up on your iPhone, your iPad, or read along on the screen. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom will then you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Take just a few minutes and imagine what it would be like to soar like an eagle. Can you picture the perspective you might have on the world around you as you flew over it? Think about how powerful you might feel. Everything would certainly look different, especially from that height. You'd be able to see things in an entirely new way. There's a reason we use the term eagle eye to describe someone that has good vision or that's able to spot something at a distance. Imagine being able to glide so smoothly, almost effortlessly. And as you do that, you're feeling the rush of what it's like to look over the landscape around you. I'm not very good with heights, but I have to think if I had wings of an eagle, I'd be able to handle it. Maybe if you could choose one superpower, it would be flight, because you'd love to have that kind of perspective. There's an incredible word picture that's painted here. It's a powerful image. But what specifically can we learn from it? Tonight I want to ask us, what lessons could I learn from an eagle? And here's the first. God gives strength to those who are weary. It's interesting to read that as we get to verse 27, it's almost as if God is telling the people of Israel, as he describes them as Jacob or Israel, and that name that would stand for the people who had been in captivity, he would say, why are you saying your way is hidden from me? That there's justice that's due that you're not getting? Do you not know that I realize what's going on? God's telling them, you're tired, you're struggling, you're frustrated. Don't you think I know that? Everyone at some point is going to feel weary. In fact, verse 30 reminds us that even young people grow tired and weary. It doesn't matter how much energy you begin with, there will come a time when you are too exhausted to continue. And maybe you've known someone and it seemed like they never got tired. But every human being at a certain point, and some of us can go longer than others without rest, but at a certain point, we're just going to collapse. In fact, Australian triathlete Chris Leigh understands that. At the 1997 Ironman competition in Hawaii, with about 50 meters left in this triathlon, which includes swimming and biking and running, he collapsed. You may have seen that footage on a Gatorade commercial that came out a few years later, describing what it was like. And he's on the commercial and he says, here's what happened. I didn't have the right nutrition. I didn't have the right hydration. And so even though he was so close to the finish, he just collapsed. Since then, that term has been called by those who run in these endurance kind of sports, bonking. What happens when you just completely hit a wall and you run out because you haven't prepared yourself to get to that point of endurance? Now, he's gone on to have a lot of success in endurance events. He's talked a lot about that day. But even that picture of him being so close to the end and just collapsing is something we can relate to. We've all been to a point where we've just hit the wall, and it just feels like we can't go on anymore. You may have had some weary days lately yourself. It's kind of interesting that even though we've been limited in what we can do, it still seems like we're tired at the end of the day. Instead of saving that energy, there are other things happening. Maybe it's the mental energy we're expending on trying to navigate through changing times. Maybe there are new stressors. Your job may have become busier because you're working in an area where things are accelerated at a difficult time. Or it may be that things around the house have become more challenging. And we can feel weary and exhausted. And it's good to know that God understands every single human being will become weary. And so we rely on a strength that can come only from Him. We're going through Philippians on Sunday mornings, and in not too many weeks, we'll get to Philippians chapter 4, which contains verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, we'll definitely want to look at that in its context, in the context where Paul is in prison as he's writing this. But it's also important to realize that as we're translating that, that idea of do indicates endurance. We could also say, I can endure all things through Him who strengthens me. And so it's not like we're going to be able to have a strength from God that just erases all of our challenges that we face, but that strength will allow us to endure. He gives us strength and power as we need it. And there might be times that something happens in our life and God gives us the strength to rise up just like an eagle on its wings and just to soar over that time. And we won't have to deal with it. And we can avoid a difficulty or a challenge. Maybe you can look back on times in your life and say, you know, God really shielded me from having to deal with this. But there are other times when we won't soar over it. We'll go right through it. And God will give us the energy and the ability to endure that. In fact, when Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, he tells them that there's no temptation that's overtaken them that isn't common to man. But he also says that God will give them a way of escape so they might endure it. Now, sometimes we look at that verse and we say, well, that means every time I face a temptation, God will give me a way to escape that temptation. And sometimes that'll happen. But there'll also be times in our life where we're not able to escape that temptation. It's going to come at us, and we need to trust in God, do what's right, and endure that difficulty. Paul had experience with that himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he describes that thorn in the flesh that he prayed repeatedly would be taken away from him. And God's answer was not, sure, Paul, well, that looks uncomfortable. I'll take that thorn in the flesh away. God's answer to Paul was, you know, my power is perfected in your weakness. And so, in fact, if you're going to deal with this weakness and this challenge, it's just going to show and highlight my own power. So there'll be times in life where the strength I get from God won't be the strength to fly over something, but the strength to go right through it and endure. And during that time, to hope and pray that God's way, that His power will be perfected in my own weakness. I like the fact that over and over in this passage, Isaiah reminds us that God never grows weary. He does not get tired, He does not need sleep, and He does not tire of hearing from us. He never gets tired of hearing us pray to Him, talk to Him, share with Him. Just think about that for a moment. He never gets tired of it. You know, there are times if I've brought something up a lot around a friend, or if I've said something over and over again to someone, even if I want to say that or something similar, I'll kind of refrain because I don't want to just wear them out on it, right? If I've talked to them a lot about this subject, okay, I'm not going to talk to them anymore about that. Let's move on. Let's do something else. But you never have to do that with God. He never wearies of listening to His children. And that's important. It's important when we think about asking for forgiveness of sins. Now, it's certainly not an excuse for us to just go committing the same sins over and over again and never try to change or do anything differently. But it's a reminder that even when I'm frustrated with myself, because I've done the same thing that I always do, and I've tried hard, and maybe I've changed a little bit, but I'm still dealing with the same kinds of issues, or I'm still wrestling with the same feelings that I have of inadequacy or feelings of failure or fear, or maybe even that I'm still grieving as a human being something that happened And I'm wondering if I'll ever move past that. Isn't it comforting to know that in every one of those occasions, I can pray to God and He never gets tired of hearing me? He never gets tired of hearing me pray to Him. I think that's incredibly encouraging. And as I do that, and you've probably experienced this before, even about difficult things, as I pray to Him, it might not change my situation, but He gives me strength to get through it. Sometimes that strength comes from other Christians who sort of put their arms around us and walk with us through a difficult time. I can't say that I understand all the ways that God sustains us through difficult times, but I know that He does. God gives strength to those who are weary, and God also gives strength to those who are waiting. This concept of waiting shows up at the end of Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 31 says, "Those who wait for the Lord," and your translation may say hope in the Lord. This language is very closely related. So we're not just waiting impatiently, we're waiting expectantly. We're expecting that God is going to come through for us. And waiting on the Lord isn't always easy. There are a lot of people in Scripture who have to wait on God in various ways, wait on timing that seems different than theirs. That's what Abraham and Sarah had to do. That's what Moses had to do. Even in the wisdom literature, in places like Psalm 62, verse 1, the psalmist writes, "My soul waits in silence for God only." Where is my soul going to focus? Only on God. He's the only one I'm waiting on. Or Psalm 104, verse 27, describing the way in which they all wait for you to give them their food in due season, that we can wait on God to sustain us with what we need. Or Proverbs 8:34, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts." Am I waiting expectantly on wisdom from God? Am I listening to God? It's that kind of waiting that takes place that isn't always easy. And that's really hard because we've had to do a lot of waiting over the last few weeks. We've had to just wait and see. In fact, if there's one common refrain that I've had to think of in my mind when I've wondered about something is, well, I guess we'll just see. I guess we'll find out. What about this decision? How's this going to go? Well, I guess we'll wait and see. It's hard to wait. And yet we're reminded that God gives us strength when we wait on Him. That term for gaining new strength or renewing our strength is very closely related to this idea of putting something on. It's like changing clothes. I'm giving up my weakness. I'm giving up the lack of energy and lack of strength I have, and I'm putting on strength that comes only from God. And waiting on the Lord will absolutely be worth it. Here's the way Peter describes it in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. "After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." He says you'll have to suffer a little while. There'll be a time you'll have to deal with some challenges. But once that happens, the God of all grace will be there for you. In the way Isaiah 40 describes it, you'll mount up with wings like an eagle. It's not the only place in Scripture. The majestic flight of an eagle is used to describe the actions of God's people. In fact, in Exodus chapter 19, as God is reminding His people what He's done, He says in verse 4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to Myself." Or even in the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, when God's compared to an eagle that stirs up its nest, hovering over its young, spreading His wings and catching them, carrying them on His pinions, the Lord alone guided him. The Lord alone guides us. We have to do a lot of waiting right now, and we'll continue to do that. Even when all of this subsides and life moves on to the next event and the next challenge, we'll still have to wait on God. But Isaiah 40 reminds us that when we are waiting on God, He will give us strength to endure. So what can we learn from an eagle? Next time we see a picture of an eagle, the next time we see one flying overhead, what can we be reminded of? God gives strength to those who are weary, and God gives strength to those who wait on Him. I want us to think about that this week. Maybe you're in that category of feeling weary. Feeling spiritually weary, not just physically exhausted. And maybe you need the kind of renewing that comes from God. That can happen. That can happen in asking your church family to pray with you and for you. We're not all in one place, but we're all focused on the same goal, and we'd be happy to pray with you and for you. It may be that you want to begin a new life in Christ, that you want to put Christ on in baptism, and that you want to lay claim in this promise that Isaiah passes along in the Old Testament, but that we know as God's people extends to Christians today, that He'll give us strength to sustain us. If there's a need that you have that we can meet, if there's a way we can minister to you or serve you, we want to do that. Let's all be sure this week, as we think about what it means to truly endure, that we're relying on God to see us through. And that picture of soaring like an eagle is an encouraging way for us to remember that God is with us, and He'll be with us this week.